Jason Burmis has the power of information.
Today's News Talk.
TNT.
Hey, we're back. This is Joe Hoff filling in for Jason Burmis again tonight. Glad to be here. Hope you're having a great evening. We're going to keep blowing you away with massive truth tonight. It's got a couple good hours for you. Amazing stuff that we're going to unwind. It's massive corruption in the United States and like we've never seen before. And we're going to unwind quite a bit. We've got our good friend Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus, joining us here shortly. And we've got a couple great guests ready to go after Adam joins us later in the show here. So anyways, thanks for being with us. Lots to go over. I guess one piece I wanted to start with today is an article that I wrote up. Really, it went up this morning. It's up at both joehoff.com and the Gateway Pundit. And it's a story about what's happened in Florida related to the Mar-a-Lago sham and raid on the Trump home and the sham indictments. Everything about it was a crime, but it was the criminals. The criminals were the DOJ and FBI. I was actually on a radio show early this morning, where I said, hey, it's about time that we wake up and see our FBI and our DOJ in its true colors. We keep sitting back, at least I do, and I keep seeing this perception, oh, the FBI's great, and they've had a couple, missteps here lately, but they're still good, and there's good people there, and it's like, I'm sure there may be a couple, but that entity is totally corrupted. We used to have a thing called phone at the top and auditing. When I was doing audits around the world, and one thing you might look at, and when looking at an entity, is who's at the top, because that tone bleeds down through the entire organization. You have somebody of integrity at the top, you've got an organization that's full of integrity. If you have someone who's a crook at the top, like Christopher Wray or Merrick Garland or Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, Jeff Sessions, Attorney General Barr, you've got a corrupted organization. The FBI's been horrible. We've had Mueller, Comey, and now Wray. It's an absolute nightmare. They are targeting Americans. It's time to wake up. These people are as bad, and this has been my message throughout the day. These people are as bad as the worst of the fascist and communist regimes and their police, official police officers. These people are nasty. They're targeting not just President Trump, but they're targeting all of us. And it's the first step in any major issue is to really see the problem as it really is. The problem isn't one or two people. The problem is the institutions are totally corrupted. Now, I believe they really were corrupted after Barack Obama came in. There may be some arguments whether it occurred under Bush or the Clintons or even before. Perhaps Edgar Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover wasn't apparently a saint, that's for sure. But and maybe the organization, the FBI, should have been shut down then. But it's just a corrupt police, national police outfit now. And evidence for that was the Mar-a-Lago raid. So President Trump's home was raided. It occurred a couple of years ago. I actually went down to Mar-a-Lago that night. I was there. I was actually on another station. They interviewed me where I said, tonight I think our country died. It was a president's home that was raided by our FBI. It was unbelievable. They went to his house. They forced everybody to get out. They wouldn't allow anybody in there. They evidence later showed they dug through Melania's underwear drawer and Baron Trump, President Trump's son's drawers. It was disgusting what they did. And what ended up happening is, as a result of this raid, they ended up taking documents with them, trucks. I mean, Christina Bob, who's a friend of mine, was there. She's a Trump attorney now over at the RNC. And she said that they wouldn't let her even come inside. She had to stand outside in the 90-degree heat. Anyways, what we find out now is that it was all a setup. We reported this at the gate. We punted about a year ago that there's documents there that are not documents that President Trump would have taken with him. And they were binders that said classified on them. They were sprayed over the floor. This picture was taken. It was given to the New York Times. The New York Times said, look, Trump's got documents all over. It was a lie. It was all a setup. We now know per some documents that came out this weekend related to the case that Jack Smith and his team were trying to hide, that the judge finally had to have these documents released, not just to the Trump team, but to the American people. And we see that a pallet of boxes was shipped to Mar-a-Lago about 2 months before the raid, and it had this classified information in it. The whole damn thing was a setup. And so that's what we know now. This is our DOJ, the same DOJ that set up Trump with the Russia collusion, same DOJ today that's just gone mad. So this is the type of news we're going to be sharing here at TNT Radio Live. If you like the truth, you're at the right spot. I'll take a real quick break to remind you right now.
The latest headlines waiting for you.
I follow the news pretty much throughout the day.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You know, with so much going on, it's hard to keep up with everything, but we're trying to do that. We're going to try to isolate certain stories for you to look into. Our friend Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus, has a story tonight. He's going to talk about Hunter Biden and how he now is, I guess, he's setting up Fox News to perhaps sue them. Probably not a bad idea. We saw how well Dominion did when Fox walked away without challenging anything and paid them whatever, $750 million. We'll see what Hunter gets. There must be some other deal in the works, I guess. What do you think, Adam?
Yeah, as if Hunter Biden doesn't do enough to paint himself into a negative light by his own actions. He's going after Fox for doing just that, actually, literally. So apparently his lawyers are planning to sue Fox News. The way it's being reported is, quote unquote, imminently. It could be happening like right now as I'm reporting this. It could happen any moment now. Apparently what's going on is the lawyers for the disgraced person have demanded that Fox News take down, quote unquote, intimate photos of Mr. Biden, the younger, or face a lawsuit. This is actually something they demanded in a letter, which was dated April 23rd, and is just now being made public today. So in this letter, attorneys for the scandal-scarred Hunter, aged 54, accused Fox of making, quote unquote, reprehensible use of, quote unquote, salacious and hacked photos. Oh, my. This sounds quite scandalous indeed. The younger Biden's legal team took particular issue with the trial of Hunter Biden. It's a six-part series on the premium Fox Nation's streaming service. The series, which is formatted as a mock, you know, i.e. fake, pretend trial of the president's son for charges including violations of the Foreign Agents Registration Act and bribery, features images taken from Hunter's now infamous laptop that show him nude and in compromising positions with an array of women, as well as doing drugs. The latest letter, which was penned by attorney Tina Glandian of the prominent firm Garagos & Garagos, said the series, quote, intentionally manipulates the facts, end quote, so that a viewer, quote, cannot decipher, end quote, what's true. This is crazy. Since the trial of Hunter Biden was, quote, intended solely as entertainment and not as news, end quote, the use of the X-rated images and other photos was for the purpose of trade and advertising and merely exploits Mr. Biden's name, image, and likeness for Fox's commercial benefit, end quote. That is what the lawyer alleges. Furthermore, Glandian writes, quote, Mr. Biden is the exclusive rights holder of the copyrighted material, including but not limited to the intimate images that have been published without authorization on Fox Nation's The Trial of Hunter Biden, We hereby demand that Fox expeditiously remove and disable access to any and all intimate images of Mr. Biden from the trial of Hunter Biden, end quote. Crazy. The letter also accused the top-rated cable news outlet of improperly doubling down on claims by an indicted former FBI informant that Hunter Biden and his father each accepted $5 million in bribes from Mykolaiv Slovchevsky, the owner of Ukrainian natural gas firm Burisma Holdings, in exchange for helping to remove Kyiv's then-prosecutor general Viktor Shokin from office and quashing his probe of the aforementioned Burisma in 2016. The informant, Alexander Smirnov, was indicted in February by special counsel David Weiss on charges of lying to his FBI handler about meetings he had with a Burisma official that formed the basis of the allegations against Joe and Hunter Biden. There is no record or evidence of either of the Bidens receiving any transfers in that amount from Slovchevsky. Regardless, Glandian's letter says that, quote, Fox initially remained silent, end quote, about the charges brought against Smirnov and then stood by the bribe claim with on-air hosts Maria Bartiromo and Jesse Waters, calling the indictment, quote, an intimidation tactic and a, quote, unquote, smear job, respectively. So I believe that they're actually named in the lawsuit. If I'm not mistaken, Joe, they called out a few people by name. So we'll see where this is going to go. But what do you think about this? Do you think it's going to go anywhere?
God, I got all sorts of thoughts going through my head. First of all, I've met and interviewed, I haven't met, but I've interviewed John Paul Mac Isaac. He's the computer repair shop guy who Hunter dropped in on a Friday, late Friday one day into his shop and dropped off these laptops, water damaged and all. And he's the guy that made a copy of for Hunter, of one of the laptops that was severely water damaged. And then he continued to try to contact Hunter over and over again to come pick it up. He never did. And after the period of time per the contract, the disc was his. And then the rest is history. He didn't know. He really, you talk to him, he was like, I wanted to get this thing out of my shop, because about that same time, Joe Biden announces he's running for president. And this guy is like, get this out of here. He went to the FBI. He had his father go to the FBI. He tried to get rid of this thing. They wouldn't come get it. Finally, they did. And by this time, he made a couple extra copies. And then the rest was history. Eventually, a copy got to Rudy Giuliani. He released this information. I was actually privy to the laptop before the 2020 election. I met somebody in a rather unique situation in New York City where we outlined some of this stuff. We reported on this stuff, though, the stuff that nobody else was reporting on the week before the election. And what we did is we highlighted this seedy stuff that was in that laptop. Daily Mail had released some information, a New York Post, but they weren't touching the seediness, and it was all over that laptop. Pictures of him with naked women, many of them we believe are hookers. We actually tied him back to a Russian woman through a passport that was on his laptop, and the blackmail potential there was unbelievable. We had all sorts of seedy stuff between him and his family, his sister, his niece. It was shocking stuff that was on there that's just really disgusting. Now, in this piece that you just mentioned, Adam, I guess his new attorney is saying that the material is copyrighted. Well, that's the first I've heard that argument, unless they've gone out here recently and copyrighted all this, because this information has been all over the internet for the last few years since the 2020 election. And you remember all these great CIA guys, these 50-some, actually, I think it was more than 60 eventually, CIA that all claim that the laptop is Russia disinformation, etc. There was a lot of evidence to suggest that that was not the case.
We've come a long way from arguing whether or not they used to deny that this was even real. And now he's like, not only is it real, it's mine. I own the copyright to it and no one else has the right to use it. Yeah. This is crazy to me. And that's the argument, I guess. It's his body. It's his copyrighted material. It's his his salacious photos, I suppose. So I guess technically they belong to him. But, you know, part of the argument I'm seeing in the defamation lawsuit, I think it's not going to hold water. The only thing that might stick is that he owns the material, in my opinion, because they're trying to say.
I don't think he does.
If anything sticks.
Right.
But the other part is they're trying to say. Trying to say that they're using this material to paint him in a negative light. All you have to do is just look at the material. It's on you with your own eyes and brain and ears to make your own judgment. Yeah. There's nothing about them. They can't do anything. It's out there in the open. You know, it's ridiculous.
Right. And I'm not an attorney by any means, but I don't know how he can copyright material that's already been sprayed all over the internet and then suggest that anybody who copies it after it's been all over is somehow in the wrong. I don't know how you do that legally. It doesn't make sense to me. And that material, he lost that material when he didn't stop in and pick up that laptop, which that I'm telling you, John Paul MacIsaac wanted that stuff out of his shop. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. And the rest is history. So yeah, great piece, crazy stuff going on. That was just tonight, Adam. So you're spot on. So thanks a lot. We're going to take a quick break now. And we'll have Adam back in the next hour, but we're going to bring on my good friend and an incredible story from Sheila Matthews with the Able Child right after this.
TNT's Rick Munn.
People are, terrified. What happens if the internet goes down? What happens if we can't get online? What happens if this? Listen, we've been around for millennia with no mobile phones. There's been revolutions in the past with no mobile phones. Wars have been won in the past with no mobile phones, okay? So we use them. Don't let them use you, but don't worry too much about it if things get shut down, because we've always got people, real physical people, inhabiting a real physical world there. So that's a little timely reminder of that.
Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn on today's News Talk TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission. Today's News Talk Radio.
Come on, let the man talk.
We never censor our hosts.
Good. Now, talk.
Uncensored news.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, we are back on TNT Radio.live. Thank you for being here. I tell you what, we've got a great guest now, and I'd say a good friend who's just got one heck of a story. And maybe I'll introduce her and I'll give her some accolades while I do. This is Sheila Matthews. She's with a group called Able Child, and she's our guest tonight here on the Jason Burmes Show with Joe Hoft. Well, welcome to the show, Sheila.
Hi, Joe. Thank you for having me on this evening.
No problem. So I met Sheila, for those listening maybe who are just being introduced to Sheila for the first time, I met her just last fall, I guess it was, and when she invited me to come speak, maybe it was last summer, at an event in Florida, and I showed up, and I didn't know her story at all. I didn't even know who was Sheila. There was people walking, trying to figure out what's going on, and then the event started, and Sheila got up there, and she talked about her story, and it blew me away. Sheila Matthews has been taking on Big Pharma for about 2 decades. And we didn't know what Big Pharma was. We didn't call it Big Pharma, but she's been taking it on and done an incredible job. And so rather than me get into it, Sheila, why don't you kind of tell us the story about Able Child and how you started this this non-for-profit. And because today it's a real powerful force standing up against Big Pharma.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, it was a real miracle meeting you. And I cannot thank you enough for your courage to bring our story alive to the American people and worldwide, actually. Yes, I'm a mom of two boys. And when my oldest son was seven, the school wanted me to drug my son, place him on behavioral health drugs like Ritalin and Paxil and that sort. And I did not want to do that. And I was getting ready for the meeting and the night before, and I happened to turn on C-SPAN and I saw a mother testifying before Congress, and she had listened to the school and put her son on Paxil. And when she did, she no longer recognized her son. He was really doing bizarre behaviors, and it got so critical that she wanted to take her son off the drugs. Her name is Patty Weathers, and she's the co-founder of Able Child. And so when she wanted to do that, the school said, you know what, your son is not welcome back here anymore. He has to be on these drugs in order to attend school. And Patty went to find an alternative situation. She did not want to pull her son out of school, yet she did not want to continue these dangerous drugs. So she spent private money getting experts, and she went up against the school and then was brought to Congress by a human rights organization. The Citizens Commission on Human Rights had heard of her story, and she was testifying before Congress. I happened to see her that night, another miracle. And then I called her the next morning, and when I was heading to school, I got in touch with her, and she said, Sheila, tell them that you want more time, that you really don't believe in this ADHD stuff. And I did. I listened to her, and we made a vow that day after she helped me save my son from the psychiatric and the pharmaceutical industries, that we would start Able Child for other parents. And that's what we did about 24 years ago.
That's just amazing. And what a miracle that you two were able to meet. So your school wanted you to put your son on one of these types of drugs. What rationale did they use, or what testing took place in order for them to make that decision?
They filled out a checklist of behaviors. The teacher filled it out. I didn't know I was participating in this, but I filled it out. I didn't know it would label him with this subjective mental illness. And then the school psychologist, the teacher, and I filled it out. And then based on those checklists, like he gets easily distracted, gets up out of the chair, talks a lot, and all those behaviors then went into this diagnosis that the school did. And then they basically handed me information from the Association of School Psychologists. And it was all filled with medication recommendations. If one drug doesn't work, try another one. It was really very disturbing and very frightening. So that's the information I got. And I didn't realize it was so inaccurate.
Yeah, I mean, what boys in school don't get up out of their chair, don't talk while the teacher's talking, sit there, don't look out the window getting bored, don't think about other things, don't, you know, scratch themselves or do whatever boys do. Boys are beautiful. And for this whole thing to just attack these things that boys do, I feel like was it's a tragedy, really. It's really kind of horrible.
Well, it's an industry. It is a very well-funded, it's the behavioral health industry. And I don't think parents understand or taxpayers understand that This industry is set up within each state, and it's called the Behavioral Health Oversight Committee. And the mentally retarded have been abused for years and years. You know, we heard about Willowbrook, where in New York, they were housing people in inhumane conditions, and they were taking taxpayer dollars. So they've always tried to reform themselves, Joe, and they've always tried to create an oversight committee. But what they do is they stack the committee with insiders and vendors that actually profit from the drugging of children. So we never get to any solution to it. They cop a couple of blames. You know, if a couple of children die in foster care, like in the state of Connecticut, they did this Juan F. case where the Department of Children and Family Service was overseen by the federal government for many, many years. And it's really insiders who have vested interests. The abutments office, where consumers can go to, it's set up with somebody who is a favored, like a real favored person to the mental health industry. So it's a nightmare for parents in public schools and the foster care system. So it's really corrupt, Joe.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Hey, Sheila, we're going to take a real quick news break, and we'll be right back. This is the great Sheila Matthews from Able Child. We'll be right back here.
I got news.
News!
I got news for you.
News! News!
I got news. I got news.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. EU Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell emphasized that while EU member states are not willing to send their citizens to fight in the Russia-Ukraine conflict, the bloc remains committed to supporting Ukraine with extensive military and financial aid. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration, challenging a new rule under Title IX that expands protections against sexual discrimination to include sex stereotypes, sex characteristics, sexual orientation, and gender identity.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Yeah, but boy, that AG out of Texas, Ken Paxton, he's one guy that's willing to do the right thing and just challenge all this bogus stuff coming out of DC. Congratulations, hat tip to AG Paxton out of Texas. So we're back with Sheila Matthews, Joe Hoft here, sitting in for Jason Burmes tonight. Sheila, your story is just so unbelievable. It just takes a lot of courage, I think, today for people to stand outside, you know, the circle, to stand over here and say, no, I'm not going to do this. Sorry, I'm not part of this. And that's what you did with your son. And then through that, you gained strength and created Able Child. And then your effort was to start helping other mothers know that it's okay to do the same thing.
Yes. And then it's led me to unbelievable corruption within these, not only the school system and foster care. We did a piece with Diane Sawyer. We supplied her with a whistleblower, and she did a 1 year long investigation into the drugging of children in foster care. And then it led on to do a lot of work on these mass shootings. So it's been a journey for our organization. We are not funded by the state and federal government. We are funded by parents across the country. And we're a small nonprofit, but we take up the shield to protect children and the sword. And we say that because it is a war, and we pick up this sword to challenge the narratives of what they're saying about these mass shooters. They are withholding information. They're drugging these children from sometimes infancy, but a lot of these shooters were on multiple cocktails of drugs that are not FDA approved for use in children. And then there's no accountability from the psychiatrists at the end when they commit these massive crimes.
So how did you jump, take this leap from we're standing up for children. We're going to protect our children. We're not going to force our children to get on drugs that we don't think are safe. Was there this, did you gain just knowledge in the fact that, hey, these drugs maybe aren't safe and that maybe they are violent? And is that what led to then this connection with these mass shooters? And we've called them mass shooters. They're really mass murderers that had had access to a gun. They're not, it's not the gun that's the problem. It's the drugs is what we're finding. The many of these kids all have been all jacked up maybe for a long time on these drugs that started off maybe innocently, I don't know if that's right, the right word, with ADHD type drugs. And then that leads to more and more, and these drugs aren't necessarily safe. How did you go from here over to starting to look at these mass shooters?
Well, we were one of the only parent organizations that were speaking out and working on legislation where we passed the first law that prohibits a school from mandating that you place your children on one of these drugs. And then we were finding other people that were having these terrible side effects. And Patty's son was placed on Paxil and he was 7 and he attacked her. So, you know, there was a point where he was no longer, she didn't recognize him. So a lot of information was coming out about the dangerous information on the drugs. And we met parents who lost their kids to the psychiatric drugs. They were hanging themselves at 11. We had Shayna Dunkel, was having some anxiety about taking a test. And the next thing, you know, she's placed on one of these drugs, and she ends up, you know, actually having a heart attack in her mother's arms. So they're dangerous. They're amphetamines. They're in the same category as cocaine, and then mixing all these drugs. So a lot of information was coming out, and we helped get the black box suicide warning. We testified before the FDA with hundreds of parents who lost their kids from these drugs. And so we started networking. And then one of the parents I helped many years ago reached out to me when Sandy Hook happened, and she invited me up to Sandy Hook. I was there probably day 2 of that police investigation. That was the first mass killing that I worked on. And then it's led
Sandy
to-
Sandy Hook is in- That is in Connecticut, is that right?
Yes.
That's the name of the school, Sandy Hook, where a young person, a young boy, went in with a gun and killed a bunch of kindergartners. Just a bunch. Was it 20? It was really it was a nightmare.
Yeah, I've lost so much track of how many collateral damage victims that have been associated with the drugging and the psychiatric abuse of the prescribing of these black box suicide and violent drugs. And Sandy Hook was a catalyst for politicians to use to start doing gun control, and also not only gun control, but massive mental health spending. So they've organized these group of victims. And of course, we're sad when any child dies, and we would love to help any organization, but their agenda clearly is pushed by politicians. It's very well funded. And they're going after the guns, and they're going after our tax dollars and forcing the public to pay for more of these dangerous drugs.
It's unbelievable. That scene was horrible, I guess. And it's just unbelievable. So this is a big case, too, that Alex Jones has been involved in, too, that whole situation. And
right.
And then, you had information that just some things didn't add up there, right?
As right. You looked into I've tried to help that situation because, you know, I don't know if your viewers probably don't know, but my cousin was the former FBI director, James Comey. I'm not too pleased with that. I think he's on the wrong side of history. So I do want to say that. But the reason why I say that is the FBI played a large role in Sandy Hook. And what they did to Alex Jones was really terrible, because they're in essence blaming him and covering up the real data that the FBI has regarding that shooting. And in addition, an FBI agent testified in Alex Jones' trial, where he was actually financially benefiting from the attack on Alex Jones and this settlement that he received, or he hasn't received the money yet. I don't think he ever will, hopefully, because the FBI has a code of ethics that if you've participated in a crime scene, you can't benefit from it. And on the stand, they never asked for his waiver from the FBI, saying that he was cleared to testify to potentially gain financially from that trial.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. That wasn't right. Alex Jones, if you don't know, he's founded InfoWars, has been on top of a lot of things, maybe years even before some of these things have occurred. It's for the most part been spot on. And he said some things about that incident in Connecticut. And somehow they got the parents to sue him. And then they ended up, a corrupt judge set $1 billion settlement for these parents, which was nonsense. I mean, Alex doesn't have anything near $1 billion. And it was, like you said, they used the FBI, and the whole thing was a total sham. Hey, Sheila, let's take a real quick break. We'll be back to finish this story. It's unbelievable what happens after this. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be back. This is Joe Hoff at TNT Radio Live.
I'm Cal Fire Battalion Chief Isaac Sanchez, and normally we like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourselves and your family safe during wildfires. But given the historic impacts that the weather has had on our state this year, we would like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourself safe during extreme weather. If you reside in an area susceptible to flooding, please take the necessary steps to prepare to evacuate if advised. Make sure you've identified at least two exit routes out of your neighborhood, as one of them may be blocked or flooded. As the weather develops, remember to check in on vulnerable neighbors and family members. They may need additional time to prepare for evacuation. And just like during a wildfire, if you feel unsafe, please evacuate. You don't have to wait for the order to come. Keep an emergency go bag ready in case you need to evacuate. And always remember to plan for the safety of your pets as well. If you must leave, never drive around roadblocks. It can take as little as 12 inches of water to sweep your vehicle away. And always remember the mantra, turn around, don't drown. Be aware of first responders working in highly impacted areas, especially on the roads. For additional safety tips and updates on CAL FIRE activities, follow us on social media or visit fire.ca.gov.
Whatever happened to good? It's a word that gets thrown around a lot, and it's become our automatic answer to so much.
Hey, how's things?
Good.
Your mom, your weekend?
Good, good. Is good even that good anymore? At the Selbos, we believe good deserves better. Let's reclaim its true meaning. To us, good has always been about making a difference, and good never picks or chooses who it helps. Isn't it time we all remember what good really means?
Clear and concise.
This is the Jason Burma Show
on today's News Talk, TNT.
This is Joe Hoft, and we are back here at TNT Radio Live with none other than Sheila Matthews from Able Child. Sheila, welcome back. So we were talking about here this progression of how you're standing up for your child, who they were trying to put on drugs, ADHD drugs, like they do across the United States every day. There's protocol. It seems like there's even efforts now to really force parents to put their children on drugs. It takes a lot of work. They'll threaten you, I guess, and say, well, if you don't do this, then we're just not going to accept your child. And that's kind of a situation for a parent, a single mother, or parents that are just both spouses working. It's not what they'd expect. And So you stood up to this, and then you started looking into these drugs, and then you started seeing that, hey, some of these mass shooters, or at least one, was connected to, was on some of these drugs. And then that led to more and more. But you mentioned this thing about the black label. That's something. Was that the term? Did I get that right? Go ahead.
It's a black box suicide warning. And it's like with cigarettes, you have a black box cancer warning. So this is the strongest label that they put on a product before they pull it from the market. And so we worked before the FDA to get that on the antidepressants. And Adam Lanza was on a cocktail of drugs. He was on Lexapro and several other drugs. And we never did get his toxicology report. And they withhold information. So really, when I started in Sandy Hook, and then we felt that they were suppressing this information, that's why we sued the state for the mental health records of the, Adam Lanza. But then when they started attacking Alex Jones, what we found was there was some real connections in the FBI and the fact that he didn't get a waiver, this FBI agent. So what we've noticed is a pattern here of the FBI being involved in these investigations and not with releasing the information. So we work on several Parkland shooting. We worked on that that mass mental health collateral damage where that Nicholas Cruz was drugged when he was in state care. And so what we're trying to do and what we do is try to really elevate the conversation to be focused on what the state is paying for. And what we find out is that these behavioral health vendors have their hands in all these mass killings. And therefore, you can look at what they did to Alex Jones is such a red herring. They want you to get distracted in that and then never deal with the real evidence of the mass killing. So we also have been working in Tennessee. We had a bill there where we wanted to clean up the corruption in the mass killing investigations where the FBI is very in hands with the pharmaceutical companies and the behavioral health vendors. So it's really a corruption issue. It's not a gun issue. It's these drugs are being protected by the state, and the behavioral health vendors make billions of dollars on this, Joe. So it really has
multi-billion.
Right. And it really has nothing to do with Alex Jones,
Yeah. Yeah. Multi-billion. By the way, that Adam Lanza, was that his last name? He was a young man who killed all these kindergartners in Sandy Hook. Horrible scene, et cetera. It's horrible. And then what happens then? They sue the gun maker, Remington, who ends up going bankrupt and moving out of the state. And that's their solution. So it's like they feed these children drugs. There's a suicide warning on these drugs, like you've said. Just like with cigarettes, there's a cancer warning. That suicide warning's not there because people have not committed suicide. It's because people have committed suicide on those drugs. And then when something happens and somebody's on these drugs, they go after the gun manufacturer. And really anti-Second Amendment, to me, there's people that are taking advantage of this for all the wrong reasons. And it's such a big moneymaker, isn't it? I think the schools, too, they're coerced into doing certain things, too. When there's a child that they give this checklist to, that, like I think you've said before to me, these checklists aren't scientific. There's somebody designed. There's nothing behind them, right?
No, there's nothing behind it. And they don't, that's the coercion part. And that's the violation of informed consent, because parents and consumers need to understand that there's no science behind these checklists. And there's a huge industry built off of it. They actually take the amount of children, they know this data. The drug companies have the data. The lawmakers don't have the data. And one of the things, Joe, is they do not tell the lawmakers how they're commingling the suicide stats. So they don't tell the lawmakers, well, a lot of these people have died on our drugs. They've induced the suicide. What they do is they take the numbers and they say, oh, suicide's on the rise, and therefore we need more mental health spending. So that's such a crime against humanity. And really, it's there's so many alternatives for children rather than these psychiatric drugs. And they're using the gifted and creative children instead of engaging them. They're drugging them, and they've relabeled them. And that's why our organization is called Able Child. It's after President Eisenhower's Able Child. And we believe in the gifted and creative children, and we want accountability. You know, it's a crime against humanity. They are forging the numbers with the help of key players in the oversight committees that work in each state. And you can go, if you don't believe me, just go to the internet and type in Behavioral Health Oversight Committee. And you'll see that there's a group of people that are very much tied to the pharmaceutical companies, and they are making policy, and it's not to benefit humanity.
It's to benefit the pharmaceutical company, Big Pharma, right?
Yes, exactly. And so parents aren't given the information, and we're going to get more and more mass shootings. And it's only increasing. And it's not being solved by the massive mental health dollars. And now they're forcing mental health clinics in our schools. And Able Child's fought for many years to prevent that. And we are now, it's almost like the dam is broke. And President Biden is full force, signed an executive order, fully funded it through these omnibus bills that no parent sees, that no consumers see. And we're in a real death spiral for these children.
It's frightening. The more people, the more children get put on these, the more they coerce children to put on, the more they coerce the schools to force to put these things on. There's all sorts of coercion for the parents. The parents are just want to, you know, they love their children, but they're really mixed. I have one daughter whose daughter or son was they were attempting to force him to get on some drugs. Another daughter who had a daughter that they were trying to. The thing when they do this, it's not, you know, there's a number of things, but the one thing that grabs me that's not being measured that I'm aware of is the fact that you tell a child, hey, you got to take this drug because there's something wrong with you. That's in essence what you're telling them. And kids are pretty smart. And so then they internalize that. And then they begin to think there's something wrong with them. And then they take this medicine. Their mom and dad's telling, take the medicine. And you don't want them to not take it because you're afraid that they might, you know, freak out and do something, right? So the parents are constantly over the top of them, telling them to take their medicine. If there's ever an outburst, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy for these children and the parents and the drug companies that see, look, this kid needs to take this stuff because look at their behavior, especially when they don't want to. And what happens is these beautiful children that are being drugged up begin to, you know, to self-defeating thoughts, in my opinion. And then that leads them to depression, more drugs. And also, I think the main thing is they don't feel like they're good enough, that they're good at all, because they have to take this because there's something wrong with them. And that stigma alone is so damaging, I believe, for children at any age, even adults, to tell somebody you need to take this because there's something broken with you. In this arena is, to me, really, really damaging. By the way, what sort of evidence do we have that these drugs work, that they help people who might be depressed, or what are they using for their to manage their statistics on this?
They don't really do a very good job of that at all. They present data to the lawmakers, and it's really based on how many calls that they get into more access. It's all about access. So they're like, well, we've reached, you know, X amount of people to get the mental health. And you see it everywhere. You see them. First of all, they have an anti-stigma campaign. So what you were all talking about was so true, but they use it in a different way on the dark side, where they're saying there's nothing wrong. You need to come get help. We're here for you. We're going to be able to help you. They do not track the success rates nor the failure rates. What they do is they say, we are going to give the consumer access. That's the only data that they track, is access, access, access. It's in, they have lawyers, they have brilliant writers that write all the legislation right out of that committee. So they are embedded in our system, and they do not track any failures. They only track access. It's a buzzword. So they never have to come to the consumer and say, you know, X amount of people have died from these drugs. That's why we need the laws that we're working on here at Able Child, the toxicology reports. That's the evidence we need. They're hiding the evidence, and they're committing fraud every time they go and ask a lawmaker for more money, because they're using the deaths, which is so sick, of the consumers that have taken their products and died. And they're using those same statistics to say, there's a rash of suicides. We need more mental health funding. So it is disgusting what they're doing, and we have to stop them. We have to make them produce the evidence, like you said, Joe, that says how many people have successfully been treated. You know, there is no evidence that they can show us that it's working on the population. They're just getting more and more access.
Yeah, and it's big, big dollars. I think you said something like $80 billion, I heard you say once, for this drug industry, just for these type of drugs.
Well, a lifestyle, these are lifestyle drugs. That's what they're called. Whereas there's no abnormality that you can see, like cancer drugs. You can look under a microscope. You take blood tests. There's no identifying markers. They've been researching this. Not only are they benefiting from the actual drug sales, they're benefiting from the research through the National Institute of Mental Health, where they have these grants where it's human research on these children. So yes, all drugs, in 2015, the Americans spent $374 billion on pharmaceuticals. That's more that is spent in the entire military defense budgets of China, Russia, and the UK combined. Now, that's all the drugs. And you know that was in 2015. So what we need is reform. And it's not lower. One thing I do want to say, Joe, is you're going to hear the politicians tell you that they are going to lower the prices for you. That is, ask a consumer, do you want lower pharmaceutical prices or do you want safer drugs? I mean, we're paying a high price for death from the pharmaceutical companies. I would say that the consumer should get safety. The prices are the prices. Of course, we want them to come down. But I think we have a drug safety issue in this country that is is bigger than the wars that we're fighting. And I really think that a lot of people are dying from pharmaceutical products, and we just don't even know how to wrap our head around that.
Well, and it's not surprising that you're saying that after what we saw with COVID and after they pushed these vaccines on everybody. And now I saw a piece today saying, hey, it was a Japanese doctor who's coming clean. He's maybe one of the top guys in Japan saying, hey, cancer is up, and it's tied to these vaccines, these COVID vaccines, which have this mechanism in them that basically, you know, increases the risk of cancer. And this is the kind of stuff they were feeding everybody. They made billions on this stuff, and huge bonuses. I heard there was like billionaires that were created in these pharmaceutical companies just through COVID. It's huge money. And so God only knows what those numbers are now with COVID, and they're proven not safe. I think it's more than clear. And more we've seen it. We just reported Gateway Pundit, these people dropping on the fields and stuff in these athletic competitions. And they're young, healthy guys. What's going on there? Never seen this before. Well, it's because they were taking these vaccines. Phila, you're on top of it. You're spot on. How can people find you, and where can they reach out to, you know, to chat with you?
Ablechild.org. That's our main place where people can find us. But we're on Getter, we're on Facebook, but ablechild.org, Joe.
Yeah. Sheila, thanks so much. You're the best, and I really appreciate all you're doing. You've been fighting this a long time, and now the rest of the world's finally catching up. You know, big pharma, it needs to be contained, that's for sure. God bless. We'll catch up soon. Thank you. Okay. And this is Joe Hoff. We'll, yeah, thanks a lot. And we'll be back here shortly, right after this break, for the second hour here of the Jason Burmis Show.